I think we're ready, members and officers. I'd like to welcome everyone to the meeting this afternoon. I know you probably would prefer it to be out in the beautiful sunshine, but we'll try to make it as brief as quick as possible. Hopefully everyone can hear me clearly. Everyone should ensure their mobile phones are turned off or switched to silent, and the use of mobile devices for recording is not permitted. Members of the public should not speak during the meeting and may be temporarily excluded for discussion of in-committee items. I would remind members of their obligations under the Councillors' Code of Conduct to declare any financial or significant non-financial interests which they have in any item of business before the committee today. If you have such an interest, please either declare it now or immediately before the item itself, stating the item of business it relates to. Having declared an interest, members should leave the chamber for the duration of discussion on that item and should not take part in the vote. You will then be invited back to join the meeting once the discussion on that item has ended. Proceedings of the meeting will be audio and video recorded, except where Council is considering any exempt matters. Members should remember that the microphones work as a queuing system. If the microphone is lit red, you have precedence. Flashing green is next in the queue and then solid green. Please do not press your microphone button again when it is lit up red, as you will lose your place in the queue. There may be some members in attendance virtually, and it has been agreed that all members in the chamber are brought in to speak on an issue before any remote delegates. Therefore, if you are attending remotely, please use the chat facility to indicate your wish to speak, and I will bring members in once all those within the chamber have spoken. Instant messages should be kept for the following letters. Type Q if you have a question, C for a comment, P to propose, S to second, and refrain from making any other comments using instant messaging. Members are reminded that they are personally responsible for any comments they make at the meeting. Okay, members. Any apologies, Sarah? Oh, sorry, Christine. As you know.
Chair, I just declare an interest at item number 17, internal audit extension.
Yes, indeed. Okay, no other apologies, Sarah?
Yeah, an apology from Councillor Murphy.
Chief Executive. And Sorry, Chair, Councillor Sharvin will be here about 2:30. He's just driving towards Dunpatrick. Thank you.
He's not speeding.
definitely not.
Okay, members, item number 2, declarations of interest, as you've heard, can be made now or later on in the meeting. Take it there, none at this juncture. Apart from Christine's obviously. Item number 3, the action sheet arising from the Audit Committee held on the 20th of February 2025. And we go through it for accuracy first, members. Page number 1. I think there's still a bit of training to be organised. Yeah.
Chair. Sarah and I have been sort of talking about getting a trainer in, so we're looking at that. There's also going to be potentially a change of membership of the Audit Committee, we've got the annual. So we will be organising it. So it will remain there as an action until it's completed. And would you in that, yeah?
Okay, thank you. Page number 1, page number 2, page number 3. I'd like to bring in Josephine, our director, for item at the top of that page there in relation to the discussion we had at the last meeting where we members wished to write to the local government auditor. Just to update.
So, express the concerns and auditors come back. If you remember, there was a notice of motion that had been raised or information had come through the SFWGHG from the Alliance Party about consideration of the keys, and indeed I had done a paper in relation to the keys and why it actually didn't fit our purposes as far as size and things like that. So I had sent that through in the bundle of papers to the Audit Office, so they had been reflecting on the information that I had provided previously.
Okay, sorry, just to clarify, you have written and you've received a response, is that correct? Seamus, if you'd like to come in.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Just to confirm, I think for the record that the local government auditor did respond that she was content with the responses that she had received at the time.
Thank you. Okay, members, for accuracy, then item or page number 4. Okay, assuming that that's all an accurate reflection of the last meeting, can I ask for a proposer and seconder to approve that those action points, please? Councillor O'Hare, Councillor Bosie, thank you. Okay, thank you, members. Item number 4 is to simply agree dates and times of meetings to take place in the next 4 meetings. So we'll go to the next year, would you believe? Okay, members, any questions?
Chair, in relation to the 25th of September, 25, we may have to adjust the date. The audit office have a number of audit committees that week, so it may move a few days prior to the 25th, but I'll work with Sarah to get a date that suits everyone and maybe get it out early next week to ensure that everyone's diaries. Okay.
Okay. Thank you. Yes.
Chair, otherwise we get them into the diaries, into what I call it decision time, but advance one, so it's there, so we have them in people's.
Okay, that's great. Thank you. So I need a proposer and seconder to approve those dates and times, please. Subject to the amendment. Thank you, Sarah. Subject to the amendments proposed by Councillor Mathers and seconded by Councillor Devon. Thank you. Okay, members, item number 5, the Audit Committee Terms of Reference and Timetable. I'm going to ask Gerard to take this report, please. Thank you, Gerard.
Hi, members. It's good practice to keep the terms of reference up to date annually. So we've reflected on 2 best practice documents here. So CIPA Best Practice Guide, which dates back to 22, and then the Audit Office just released a new guide in March 25. So on Appendix 1, I have attached the terms of reference, and there's only been minor changes which have been highlighted in a yellow font, and that really falls out of the self-assessment from the Northern Ireland Audit Office, which is attached at Appendix 2. Appendix 3 then details the timetable for the year ahead, so the standard items plus any other items members would expect to see at the audit committee in summer, autumn, winter going forward. So members are just asked to approve the terms of reference and note the timetable for the year ahead.
Okay, members, any questions? Those are very important documents, and it's great to get the update and the guide from the NIAO. A very good guide it was. So it's good to get that reflected in our terms of reference in our work programme. Okay, members, if there are no questions, I would just ask for a proposer and seconder to approve in front of you. Councillor O'Hara, thank you. Proposed. Seconder, members? To Mathers, thank you very much. Members, that takes us to item number 6. It's the Audit Committee Self-Assessment New Guide. Gerard, do you want to comment first?
Yeah, so the guide was released in March 25, and I suppose the only bit which has been completed is the section in relation to the terms of reference. So myself and the Audit Committee Chair are going to meet next week and populate the guide for our Audit Committee, basically looking back. And then the plan would be to circulate that to Audit Committee members to see if they are in agreement, and that would form our self-assessment for the 24-25 year and filter into the annual report for the Audit Committee. So I suppose that's an action for the takeaway. It's a good document, but it's detailed, and there is a lot of questions. So I think me and Brona just need to have a meeting, and we'll get it out to Audit Committee members then before the end of next week, just to make sure everybody's content. So.
Thank you, Gerard. It is a very comprehensive questionnaire. I think, Gerard, you said it was about 200 questions. I didn't count them, but I did read every single one of them. And we just need to jointly respond or complete that. And we will get that to members then for commentary. And then we'll feed in, as Gerard said, to the annual report in relation to the effectiveness of the audit committee. OK, members, can I have a proposer and seconder and to note? Note? Yeah, no, please. Yeah. And Councillor O'Hara, thank you. Yeah. Okay, members. Item number 7. Josephine's going to take that update of members' interest.
So every 6 months, members, this report comes through. Just to note, the six-month review report, an email was sent to members on the 29th of April. We've had a number of members come back to update the forms, and those changes have been updated then to provided by members. So it's just here to note. So if there's any questions or a seconder, report.
Thank you, Josephine. Oh, sorry, Councillor Devlin, please go ahead.
Sorry, Chair, I was just happy to propose that we note that.
Sorry, yes, okay, sorry. Thank you. The feedback is a little bit. Okay, thank you. Okay, members, the next item is number 8, the LGA Audit Report 2024 Recommendations. I would ask Chair to speak to this.
Thank you, Chair. So, members, this was an action from the previous audit committee, and it was the local government auditor report, and there was a number of recommendations which applied to all councils. Unfortunately, there has been a glitch, but basically it's only the appendix which is uploaded, which is the local government auditor report. There was a paper detailing each recommendation and our compliance or working towards compliance with each of the recommendations, but it was only discovered at the pre-meeting. So rather than upload it to this committee, we bring it to the next audit committee so members have a time or a chance really to read and ask any questions.
Thank you, Gerard. So members, we don't have that front of us today to ask questions, but we look forward to getting it in our July meeting. I think it'll be very useful. So therefore, I get a proposal and seconder just to note that the way forward, please. Seconder then. So here, thank you. Okay, members, item number 9. Good, okay. Performance improvement objectives. Gerard, I believe it's yourself again. Thank you. Or is it Catherine? Catherine. Thank you, Catherine.
Thanks, Chair. I would just like the committee please to note the draft performance improvement objectives 25-26 that were agreed at SPNR in March. The consultation is currently open. It closes this Friday. And as well as online, obviously, there's been a number of face-to-face consultations with the DEA teams and some Section 75 groups. So, hopefully, following the consultation and review, the final performance improvement plan 25-26 will be published by the 30th of June. We're happy to take any questions.
Thank you, Catherine. I know there's a huge amount of work goes into this, so that's very much appreciated. So, members, any questions for Catherine? Okay, just a proposer and seconder, then members to note performance improvement objectives. Thank you, Councillor Hare. Thank you. Okay, members, that takes us to item number 10, is the Corporate Risk Register. We have the Corporate Risk Register and the Corporate Services Directorate Risk Register in front of us today. I'm going to ask Josephine to take this report for us.
Thank you, Chair. The Risk Register, the Corporate Risk Register, was reviewed and updated by SMT at the end of April. We've used the audit reassurance statements to inform the corporate risk register. In section 2, you can see there are still 12 risks, 7 of which are red, 4 are amber, and 1 is yellow. So we haven't added any new risks to the risk register. But what I will say is that we have, if you look at the appendix where we show the change, we have taken back. If you remember the last audit committee reflecting on the planning, it was asked to re-look at that, and we have raised the risk score in relation to planning. That's risk number 4, CR04. The other thing that we did was looked at, I suppose, the timing of this review and the whole issue of the Mourne Gateway project, this breaking just as we were looking at the risk register. We have added some narrative into the risk register about the Mourne Gateway, but we will re-look at this when we know a bit more. You'll be aware of the project board meeting that happened last Friday on the Mourne Gateway. You'll also be aware of the discussion at a council meeting on Tuesday night in relation to that and the various actions that are taking place over this next week, trying to establish next steps. When we know more about that, we will then review the risk register again. We felt until those actions had been undertaken, we'd put narrative in, but we would look to see where we put the risk score in relation to that. So that was the position that we took. I'm happy to take questions on that. And then the corporate services risk register is there, and there, if there's any questions, and that is part of the reporting we do at each committee. It was corporate services turn this time around. So, any questions on any?
Thank you, Councillor.
My main concern is gondola. I do have a few questions here. Item 10, first point is in relation to the failure to deliver capital investment programme for the district is the first category, and looking at the very last potential root cause, it says lease issues with Thomas Quarry National Trust. And as you've said, there's obviously limited information that you know at this stage, but I would expect that in a corporate risk register there'd be more than narrative about the risk, even if you don't know what's going to happen. There's still potential risk that should be in there, because we're talking about a potential waste of £1 million from the council on this. Which leads me to my first question. How much has been spent on the gondola project to date?
Yeah, we'll take one question at a time.
Excuse me, is the question relating from inception or from the appointment of the consultant following the contract for funding signing?
Inception.
We don't have that detail in respect, because this goes back to 2017, but that's something that we can collate through finance and come back to the audit committee with that figure.
Give us another figure, Conor, maybe that might... It will not be complete, but just...
Because it's not, I'd rather have very detailed and firm information. I don't want to speculate over the cost, because we have incurred costs up until the 1st of May, and we haven't received invoicing up until that date, and we have concluded, and we have sort of paused the work on the project, so we will begin invoices from our consultants that take us up to the 1st. I don't want to provide information. Fully accurate and complete. But I will take it as an action.
Will you bring it back to the council directly?
I think I'll bring it back to the council.
I'm just not sure where you are on this.
Yes. It'll be part and parcel of the workings of the general.
Okay.
Response to the decision last week.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you. What assurance was received from National Trust that would demonstrate the gondola project had a fair expectation of progressing before spending commenced?
Chair, one of the conditions of the contract for funding from DfE was that we had entered into a memorandum of understanding with the National Trust in respect of the project, and that memorandum of understanding set out the conditions under which they would consider a lease, and how they would work in partnership with the council in order to get to that position. And that was the assurance that was provided both to the council and to the department and the funders on how we would progress and allow the contract for funding to be agreed and signed, both by the department and a letter of offer issued to the department from the Department of Finance Supply. So that was the assurance was given at that time.
What action has or will Council take to recoup money spent on the gondola project from the National Trust?
That's not something I would be in a position to answer at this time. That's a matter for Council, and that would be a matter for deliberation once all the facts have been gathered It's only been a week since we've been notified of the decision from the National Trust, so I think it's very early stages, and we wouldn't be in a position to. I wouldn't be in a position to speak on behalf of council on that matter.
And final question: the city deal money was secured by the DUP in the confidence and supply agreement, and it would be disappointing to see it lost to Lurie-Mornin Down District Council and our ratepayers. What steps have been taken to see if the $30 million city deal funding can be secured by council for other projects in the district?
Again, Chair, it's only 1 week from the decision for the National Trust to not proceed with granting the lease. We have engaged this week already with City Deal Partners, and we have further meetings scheduled for tomorrow. So at this time, I'm not in the position to answer Councillor Bowden's question, but we hope to have a clearer picture in the coming days and weeks.
Your deadline for submission?
I'm not aware, and as I said, it's early days. That detail hasn't even been discussed with our funding partners as yet.
Thank you, Connor. Councillor Harmon.
Thanks. And thanks, Councillor Bowsey, for those questions. I suppose if you said on the programme board, you maybe have a wee bit more detail around it, but I welcome that you're raising those because they're all valid. I think from an audit perspective that we really need to look at increasing the risk for this project. We are at serious risk now at the minute, even to the point of Callum's questions can't actually be answered because there's so many unknowns. I think the risk of the £30 million investment to Lurie-Mornin Down is something that we can't overlook today in the Audit Committee. And there is a lot of untruths out in the public domain around what potentially where the money can go and, you know, other projects and that it can be used for, like, I suppose, capital expenditure, which would normally fall under normal council spend, rather than looking at the inward investment that we got from Confidence and Supply and the Belfast deal. And I suppose maybe understanding that there's pillars that need to be actually adhered to in order to secure this money for the district. And that's where our focus should be, in looking to see what else will stack up to be able to keep it within Lurie-Mornin Down. I do think as well, you know, there's a lot of misunderstanding around, you know, questions were asked why the council go this far without the National Trust lease, even though we know that there was a memorandum of understanding that everybody was trying to keep to. So there's just so much flan about it at the minute that I think it just naturally raises the risk because there's a risk of just the unknown alone. So I don't know where that falls within the grid and what we can do today to just really note the fact that we are concerned and that we need to move at pace to try and get it sorted out. Or get some sort of resolution to the issues that we're facing based on the announcement last Thursday, which came practically out of the blue.
Thank you, Councillor Hannan. So, sorry, do you want to take the questions around the increasing the risk on the register, Connor?
I think it's a very well-made point, and I think the uncertainty does create that heightened level of risk, and it's something we will take away as a management team and review the risk score and some of the mitigations relating to that specific risk and bring that back to the committee.
Wesley, would you like to comment?
You know, we've got to look, I mean, the CRO1, which is the failure to deliver the capital investment programme for the district, definitely falls within that, you know, but there is lots of other, you know, work in there too. So we'll look to see whether maybe this actually needs its own risk for a period of time, or we incorporate into one of the risks we already have. So we'll take that back and report back.
Through the chair, could we set it aside as a project at risk on its own, rather than just put it into the capital investment programme risk? Maybe that might be more. Is that what you mean? Maybe I picked that up wrong.
I think, Chair, that the project itself had its own risk register as part of the project governance, and maybe it's a matter of looking at the mitigations that were in that project risk register, and seeing whether we could report back on them. and take them into consideration when we were considering this risk itself, which reflects the whole capital programme across the council. So there is that, as I said, that individual project risk register, which had the lease from for Thomas's Quarry as one of the, if not the highest risk that was on that register. So is that a consideration?
I suppose my concern would be, and Sinn Féin's concern would be, that if we leave it now until we're not meeting again until July, that's a serious amount of time between identifying a risk here and audit, even though there may be an individual risk, obviously, part of the project. That would sit, as my understanding is, as part of any capital project. But given the real detriment to the council and the district here, I do think we need to maybe deal with it quicker than waiting to the next audit committee. Maybe SPNR might be a place to bring it back to, and even the questions around how much money has been spent could go back to SPNR as well, rather than waiting another quarter.
I think, you know, absolutely agree with you. I mean, I think we should report to the next audit committee, you know, in due course, which is what we do, but we can look at SPNR, and we've also got council and sort of following that. So we'll take that away, and we'll bring it back for SPNR. As a new action in the action plan.
I think just to come in there, obviously the risk register sits naturally within the audit committee, so even though there is information go back, and I appreciate there's a lot of information reports that will be prepared and information given, the risk register determined here at the audit committee. Looking at the residual risk sitting at 20, with the inherent risk at 25, and I think the only, if it was to be increased, the only place then would be, as far as I can see, is up to 25. Yes. And that would probably be the only one in the whole risk register that would sit at 25. However, I have to say I do agree with the members' rationale in relation to this is a risk that the organisation is facing at this juncture, and we don't know what the outcome is going to be. So could I propose a middle ground then? We're going to have a special audit committee going forward, probably late May, early June. Could I ask for this corporate risk register to be brought back to that committee and that to be considered whether or not that risk needs to be increased at that juncture down due to this particular issue, and that maybe you'd be a little bit further on in the better idea. Would that be a compromise, as well as what if you want the information to go to SPNR as well? So be it, but SPNR wouldn't really be looking at this corporate risk register, but may well be looking at the risk register in relation to the project. I'll not get into the middle of that, but could we put that as an action? So the risk register for this particular item to come back to the special audit committee that we're going to have in the next 2 or 3 weeks, and that I'm maybe will satisfy. That. We did have a discussion about this in our pre-meeting, and members were pretty sure. Sorry, Councillor Devlin. Oh,
thank you, Chair. I suppose just to associate with the comments that were made by Councillor Hanlon on the call and your proposal, Rona, as well there in terms of the special meeting. I suppose for those of us on the programme board, we're acutely aware of the major risk that we have hanging over us all. I know that we got significant updates, it must be maybe 14 months ago, whenever there was a discussion around alternatives and how, if we did want to go down that route, we'd have to go back to the beginning of the process, withdraw the project. The two universities, the executive, we were all on the programme board well versed about the work that we did to get to the project that we have to this point. So I suppose, you know, whenever we think about alternatives, and hopefully we can retain the money in the district, there's been so much work has gone on over the past number of months and years to get us to where we are. I definitely am deeply concerned, and I really do hope that we can get a project that can retain the money, but definitely in terms of that risk at that level of 25, I think it's the biggest risk that I've ever seen or encountered within council. So I would support the comments and look forward to obviously the officers reporting back after their meeting with Belfast Regional City Deal and the Department of the Economy in terms of how we move forward. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Devon. Councillor Harry, if you'd like to come in. Can't hear either, Councillor Harry. I think you might be on mute. Can't hear you. If you can hear me, maybe take your headphones off, they're suggesting here. Can't hear it. Maybe.
Hold up. Can you hear me now? So sorry.
Sign language. Go ahead.
Can you hear me? Sorry. So sorry. I'm having a bit of an issue where my speaker's not working and whatnot, so that's why I've got the headphones on. But yeah, Lou, I just wanted to echo those concerns around the chamber, and I do think that we shouldn't be waiting until the next audit committee. You know, there is some really urgent questions we need to know, especially around that 30 million, how we can keep it in the district. And that's something, you know, we and I've always, you know, said is we definitely still want to see investment and how we look into that alternative project. So appreciate all those comments and from yourself as well. And so, yeah, look forward to that information coming back to the audit committee and SPNR or full council, whichever way it works.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Harry. So just to clarify what we are actually doing after that debate, there, what do you reflect on as the action point from that discussion, please?
So it was to bring the corporate risk register back to the special audit committee in June. May, and it also to be tabled at the SPNR committee after that.
But does it need to be tabled? It's this corporate risk register I'm talking about, what you're doing in relation to your other
one. I think we would hope to be reporting back to SPNR next week on the latest discussions and the outcomes of them at SPNR next week. That they will inform the review of the risk that will inform what we bring back to the audit committee at the end of May, June. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that we have to do that evidence gathering first and that deliberation over what our options are. And that, I believe, would inform any revised risk rating for that specific risk. Maybe that is the approach that we take. That's what members agree.
Okay. So just to clarify then, are we tabling at SPNR? What are we? Are we?
We will provide
an update report to SPNR,
and we hope that will provide sufficient evidence and information that will allow a reassessment of the risk.
And just to clarify, then the corporate risk register then brought to the special audit.
And it'll reflect.
Yeah.
Okay, I think we're clear. Thank you. Well. Is that what members are agreeing to? Is that we got? Yeah, I take it members are. Proposer and seconder, then, members, for those actions.
A weak question. Sure. Do we have a date that we're arranged to meet?
Not the
RCD government officials?
Oh, sorry.
And have they, or have they even responded?
We had a preliminary meeting with the RCD staff on Tuesday afternoon, and we're meeting DfE, TNI, and the RCD officials again tomorrow afternoon at 2 o'clock.
Okay, members, can we have a proposal and a seconder to approve the current corporate risk register as it is and the corporate service direct risk register, along with the two action points as clarified and read out by Sarah? Thank you, Councillor Hannan, and seconded to Mathers. Thank you. Okay, item number 11 is the prompt payment statistics quarter four. Gerard, if you want to take that report, please.
Yeah, members, just the standing report. So the final quarter of the year, you can see within 30 days in our terms and conditions, we've paid 93% of invoices within the 30 days, and the average number of days to pay suppliers is 15.41 days. So I suppose members will see quarter one to four there, and although the stats are still good, they've dropped slightly in quarter four. So we have a new process where non-PO invoices now go monthly to the senior management team for approval prior to payment, just as a governance concern, and all suppliers are told not to send an invoice to council without a PO. So that has had some impact on the figures, and I think maybe we'll bring that report two weekly going forward, just to get the stats back up to the 95% mark. So happy to take any questions.
Gerard, members, any questions?
It's okay if we're too late, but I did have another question on item 10. Sorry.
Would you be able to take that directly to an officer, I think, or can we go back? Back if you're happy, Connor's happy to take questions.
There's four million being given out for the advanced flooding scheme, 105 applications and 85 approved, so just wondering if you can give some general feedback as to why 20.
And I don't have the exact detail in respect of that, but there were a range of issues why. It's not that they didn't meet the threshold. Some applicants withdrew their application. Some applicants already had been paid out through their insurance, so therefore they couldn't be paid for a similar element again. And there was other reasons, you know, which were many and numerous why applications didn't proceed. But they were tested through the appeals process and through deliberation and consultation with the EIP. But there was a variety of reasons why all applications didn't proceed to a payment or a letter of offer.
So, okay, members, could we get a proposal and seconder to note the report on the prompt payment statistics for the fourth, please? Councillor Hare, thank you. Seconder, members? Councillor Devon, thank you. Okay, members, items 12 to 23 are deemed to be restricted under paragraph 3 of part 1 of Schedule 6 of the Local Government Act, Northern Ireland 2014. Information relating to the financial or business affairs of any particular person, including the council holding that information, and the public may, by resolution, be excluded during these items of business. So, members, could I have a proposer and a seconder to go into closed business? Proposed by Councillor Hare. Seconded by Councillor Mathers. Item 12, update and audit recommendations on the proposal of Councillor Bousey, seconded by Councillor Hare. It was agreed to note the progress implementing both internal and external audit recommendations. Item 13, direct work contracts on the proposal of Councillor Sharvin, seconded by Councillor Bousey. It was agreed to note the quarter 4 and financial year end 31 March 25 update in relation to direct work contract. Item 14, procurement action plans on the proposal of Councillor Sharvin, seconded by Councillor Hare. It was agreed to note the update and progress in relation to the director of procurement action plans. Item 15, update on fraud and raising concerns on the proposal of Councillor Bousey, seconded by Councillor Hare. It was agreed to note the following. The update in relation to fraud and raising concerns, case and stated in Appendix 1 of the officer's report, the progress on actions arising from the NIAO internal fraud risk self-assessment, the update in relation to the National Fraud Initiative. Item 16, audit strategy 24-25 on the proposal of Councillor Mathers, seconded by Councillor Devlin, was agreed to note the contents of the audit strategy for 24-25. Item 17, internal audit extension on the proposal of Councillor Sharvin, seconded by Councillor Hanlon, it was agreed to approve the first one-year extension period to allow work to commence on the third year of the four-year internal audit plan. Item 18, 19, 20, 21 and 22, summer NI summary report. On the proposal of Councillor Sharvin, seconded by Councillor Hare, it was agreed to note the summer NI summary report, including fuel management report, performance and data validations report, labour market partnerships. Item 19, internal audit plan 25-26. On the proposal of Councillor Bousey, seconded by Councillor Mathers, it was agreed to approve the internal audit plan 25-26. And item 23, summer NI internal audit charter, on the proposal of Councillor Hare, seconded by Councillor Sharvin, it was agreed to approve the summer NI internal audit charter. Okay, members, so just one last item. Item 24, the circular for consolidated council allowances. We'll just take it as read, Gerard, and ask for proposal and seconder to note. Last proposer and seconder. Councillor Mathers and yes. What a seconder for me. Come on, the last hurdle. Oh, thank you, Councillor Bousey. Thank you. Okay, members, thank you for sticking with us and enjoy the rest of the evening and see you next time. Thank you very much. And officers and guests. Thank you.